Mark chapter number 2. We'll get right into our text tonight. And Lord willing, we will have an illustration this evening that helps us understand, or that helps apply the point this evening that I want to share with you tonight. Mark chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 1, and again, you may want to circle that, you may underline that. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick and the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, that's kind of an interesting statement. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let me read that again. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'd like to preach a simple message tonight that I've entitled, Four Friends Let Me Down and I'll Never Be the Same. Four friends let me down and I'll never be the same. Let's pray. Father, tonight we bow in your presence. Lord, we've been given much today. Lord, we've been given breath for life. Lord, we've had our health and our heartbeat. Lord, we've been given food and shelter and love and comfort. Lord, we've been given your word today. Thank you for the messages that we've heard, and Lord, how it stirs my heart. And Lord, I've got a lot of work to do with just what I've heard today already. Lord, we've been able to sing and rejoice, for you are good, and there is none like you. Father, tonight, would you stir our hearts? Would you help us to see what thus saith the Lord this evening? Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, people didn't come tonight to hear from a man. Lord, if they did, they're going to be sorely disappointed. And Father, we need to hear from you. Lord, I need you tonight. There's no doubt in my mind that I need you. Lord, if you don't meet with us tonight, we've just gathered together. Father, we worship you and we praise you and we glorify your name. We ask all these things in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Four friends let me down and I'll never be the same. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever wished you had a second chance to do something again? You ever wish you had a second chance to do something again? Maybe you messed up. Maybe you goofed up. Maybe you failed in an area. Maybe you missed the mark or missed an opportunity. You wish you could have a chance to do it again. Maybe hit the redo button. Maybe in golf we call that a mulligan. Maybe you'd like to have a mulligan in life, and you'd like to have a redo, and you'd like to do it again. Well, here we have four friends that I believe, that I can prove here in Scripture, that they had a second opportunity to do something again that they missed the first time. You say, Brother Money, what are you talking about? I don't see that in the Scripture. Well, let me share this with you tonight. I believe that they had an opportunity to get their friend to Christ, and I think they missed that opportunity the first time. Now, let me share that with you. Now, the Bible says in chapter number 1, let's go to chapter number 1, Jesus was in Capernaum at that time. And verse number 30, the Bible says, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Anna, they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him, what's the next word? All that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And the Bible says in verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And so here we have Jesus, he's in the house. They go out and they gather all that were sick and all that were diseased, and they brought them to the house. And the Bible says that all the city was gathered together at the door in verse number 34. And he healed, what's the next word? Many. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Now, how many did they bring? How many did they bring that were sick of diseases and of devils? How many did they bring? All. How many was at the door? All the city. How many did he heal? Many. How many did he cast out demons? Many. Was it because he couldn't do it? No. It wasn't because he couldn't heal them. It wasn't because he couldn't make it happen. I believe it's because they didn't get him close enough. All was at the door. All sick. All the city was there. And if the Bible is true, and I believe that it is, that everybody was there. They brought people from everywhere. The problem was the house was too small. They couldn't get everybody into the presence of the Lord. And many were healed. Many were cast out demons. And then Jesus left. And there were some that did not get healed. There were some that didn't get devils cast out. And so the Bible talks about all were there, but many were healed. And so I would imagine time went on. The next few verses, Jesus gets the disciples and he leaves. Verse 38, they go into the next towns to preach there also. And then verse number 1 of chapter number 2, the Bible says, And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in where? The house. He was in the house. So he was back in the same place he was before. He was back in the same town that he was there before. And now there's another opportunity that was given for people to come to him and to get healed. So he was back in the house, back in this place. And here we have four men in this story that I believe missed their opportunity to get their friend close enough to Christ, close enough to the Lord, in the presence of God. Thankfully, they were given another chance. Thankfully, they got him into the presence of the Lord the second time. It seemed like maybe they were more prepared. It seemed like maybe they anticipated this new opportunity. You know what? How did they do that? I don't know, but maybe their prayer increased. Maybe this time their prayer increased. Maybe they spent more time and said, Lord, would you bring your son back? Would you bring Jesus back? Hey, we need our friend healed. And maybe their prayer increased this time. Not only do I think maybe their prayer increased, but maybe their planning ramped up. Maybe they just decided to get a better plan than they had last time. So their prayer increased. Maybe their planning ramped up and they said, okay, this is what we're going to do next time. If he comes back, we need to get our friend into his presence. And maybe their planning ramped up. Maybe their priorities changed. Maybe before they just were lazy or didn't get there in time because of some other activity, but maybe their prayer increased, their planning ramped up, their priorities changed. I don't know what they did differently the second time. All I know is they got their friend to Christ. They got their friend into the presence of the Lord this time. Praise the Lord. And so I believe whatever they did this time, obviously, worked, but they had a second chance. They had an opportunity. And I think God sometimes gives us another opportunity. Maybe it's another time to witness to somebody. Maybe it's another time to be thankful. Maybe it's another time to give a testimony. Maybe it's another time to sing a song or rejoice in the Lord. But thank God for second chances. Amen? I want to talk tonight about their willingness. I see some willingness here in this story, and I believe that it will help us this evening. If we talk about their willingness, obviously we can go different directions in this story, but I'd like to talk for a moment about their willingness. They were willing. Let me share some things that they were willing to do. They were willing to do. First of all, I think they were willing to take risks. They were willing to take risks. You say, Brother Money, we really don't use that word much in our Christian vocabulary, most of the time we use the word faith, and I believe faith is the proper word here, but I think there is an element, if I can say this without taking it too much out of context, I think there's an element of risk in our faith. Obviously, we know what faith is, and so we know that it's hope in something solid, okay? So I'm not saying that faith is risky. I'm just saying there's a certain element of risk that they took. And so I want to use that word risk with your liberty tonight. They were willing to take a risk. You know, if we look at this story and we really open up this passage and really think about what happened here, you know, probably what they did led people to question. What they did, the risk they took, probably led people to ask questions. Can you imagine sitting there that day and being in that building and listening to Christ and listening to Him preach, and then all of a sudden the roof starts coming apart and stuff starts coming out from the rafters, and you're going, what is going on? Or you see, or you're outside and you see these four men carry a bed with a man who cannot walk and cannot maneuver by himself, and they start trying to get on the roof. No, wouldn't you think it would cause people to ask questions? Wouldn't you think that somebody said, what in the world are they doing? Where are they going? How come you're doing that? Hey, we're trying to listen here. What are you guys doing up there? And I believe the risk that they took probably led people to ask questions. Are you foolish? Are you crazy? Are you nuts? We're all trying to listen here to what the Lord has. What are you doing? And I think they were willing to take a risk, and that risk probably led people to ask questions. Their risk probably led to danger and discomfort. Can you imagine for a moment what it took for these men to get that bed up on the roof, to open that roof and to start letting this man down from whatever height it was, if it was a single story, a double story, I don't know what it was, but there had to be some level of danger or at least discomfort. I mean, how far did these people have to carry their friend? I wonder how much terrain, if it was uphill, downhill, around the corner, across the river, what they had to do to get their friend even to the house and then to get him down into the presence of the Lord. I believe that they took a risk in what they were doing, and it probably led people to ask questions. It probably led to danger or at least discomfort. You know, the risk that they took probably led to interruption. Can you imagine the interruption that happened? The interruption that happened when the ceiling opened up. Can you imagine what happened? What are you guys doing? I'm sitting here trying to listen to the Lord, and you're making all this noise, and all of a sudden this bed comes down and ceiling tile pieces land on your head, and we're trying to put our cup up to the fountain of the living water, and here you are. Guys, what are you doing? You're interrupting my schedule. But they were willing to interrupt things to get their friend in the presence of the Lord. They were going to do whatever it took to get their friend into the presence of the Lord. They didn't care about inconvenience. They didn't care about danger. They didn't care about what people might say. They didn't care about the questions. They didn't care about the discomfort or even the interruptions. It was so important to them to get their friend into the presence of the Lord. They were willing to take a risk. Willing to step out on faith. Willing to trust. Willing to say, you know what? I've seen this man do it before. This man can heal my friend. This man can make a difference in his life. I believe he can do it. And that's what we do as Christians. We trust the Lord. We believe in His Word because we know the Lord can make the difference in lives. Amen? And so they were willing to take a risk. Probably led people to questions. It probably led people to danger and discomfort. It probably led to turmoil. It probably led to interruptions. But regardless what it took, it led their friend to healing that day. They were willing to risk everything because something was more important at stake. There was something more important at stake. More important than the questions. More important than the danger. More important than the interruption. More important than the turmoil. It was more important to get their friend to Christ. Can I ask you this question? And I have to ask myself this question. And to me, this question's convicting to me. But are we playing it too safe as Christians? Are we walking by faith too safe? Are we willing to take risk? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Are we willing to even stick our necks out? Like Aquila and Priscilla did for the gospel's sake. And so, are we playing it too safe? Jim Elliot said this, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I was thinking about that statement not long ago. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And I started thinking about that, and I can imagine two piles. Two piles. One pile is a cannot keep category in my life. And the other pile is a cannot lose category. So I've got in my life, it'd be like a yard sale. I have two piles. I have a cannot keep pile and I have a cannot lose pile. And I had to ask myself, which is bigger? Do I have a bigger pile of those things that I cannot keep? Am I too enamored with the things that I cannot keep in my life and I want to gather together and I like these things because it brings pleasure to me, but I cannot keep these things because one day they're all going to be gone at the judgment seat of Christ. None of these are going to be there. What is my pile, my cannot keep pile? Is it bigger than my cannot lose pile? And my cannot lose pile is the things that I do for Christ, the things that are worth something, the things that are of eternal value. And sometimes in my life, and I think this is so true in my life, and I've got to do some yard sales in my own life to get the things that I cannot lose out of my life so I can focus more on the things that I cannot keep, so I can focus more on the things that I cannot lose. I was thinking this morning, what a great thing. You folks are gathering your things together to get rid of so that you can build a building that would bring God glory. What, isn't that a wonderful thing? What you're doing is you're saying, this pile that I cannot keep, I'm willing to give up for the sake of the gospel. I'm willing to liquidate. I'm willing to put forward. I'm willing to take a risk so I can exchange some in my pile that I cannot keep so that I can place over here the things that I cannot lose. What a wonderful thing to do for Christ. Stay at it. Be willing. And I think these were willing. I think they were not only willing to take a risk, I believe they were willing to ask hard questions. They were willing to ask hard questions. You say, Brother Money, I didn't notice any questions in this passage. Well, go with me to verse number 2. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much without the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him bearing one sick of the palsy which was born afore. In verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. You see that comma? They uncovered the roof. You know, in between problem and solution comes questions. You know, we don't see a question there. We don't see them looking at each other. But I guarantee you, when they got to the house, when they went to the door, when they went to the windows, when they went around and they saw even the back door, there was no room, we can't get in there, we can't get our friend in there this time. I guarantee you they looked at each other and said, well, what do we do now? How do we get him up there? Do we wait? Do we take him back home? Do we wait another time? Do we wait till Christ comes out and catch him there? And in between all of the questions that they must have asked that day, that they were willing to ask, somebody said, how about the roof? They came up with a solution. You see, they were willing to ask hard questions. In the work that we do in the areas of the 1040 window, we've got to ask ourselves some hard questions. You know, there are some nations that are closed. There are some nations that are not open to the gospel. There are some places that are heavy in persecution. There are people without Bibles. There are people that don't have churches. And so how do we reach them? Are we going to go to that country? Are we going to set up a sign? Are we going to put up a church? Or are we going to ask ourselves some hard questions and be able to reach them another way? Now, Christ is the only way. That's not what I'm saying. But maybe we have to change our tactics to get people into the presence of the Lord. You know, you've got some friends this Christmas. You've got some co-workers. And you know what? They're not coming to church. They're not going to darken the door. You can talk to them and talk to them, and you've talked to them for years. Can I ask you a question? Is there another way to get them in the presence of the Lord? Is there another opportunity? Can you get them some other way? It might be through a book that you've read. It might be through a passage. It might be through a time where you invite them to your house. It might be some other way to get them into the presence of the Lord. But whatever it is, we've got to ask ourselves hard questions. And if the normal way is blocked, let's get them another way. Maybe it's a Christmas tree lighting. Maybe it's something else. But whatever it takes, we've got to get them into the presence of the Lord. And so they were willing to take risks. They were willing to ask hard questions. They were willing to use the resources that were available to them. I'll just be brief on this point. But I doubt that they brought rope with them. I doubt they brought what they needed to get on the roof with them. I doubt that they hauled all the way from the house the different things that would help them accomplish the job. What happened was, is when they got there and they saw the need and they saw what they needed to do, they started looking for resources that would help them accomplish the job. And what resources do we have in the church? What resources do we have in the pews? What resources do we have around us to get more people into the presence of the Lord so that they can have help and hope and healing? What do we have that we can offer? Imagine they're probably looking for a ladder or a stairwell or an elevator or something to get them on top of the roof. I would imagine there's some things that they needed, and they needed to use the resources that were available to them. And it helps me understand. It helps me understand that if I'm going to get people to Christ, I must use the resources that are available. You know, God doesn't want what you don't have. He wants what you have. Do you understand that? He wants what you have. And I think we have the resources. God would give us the resources to get the job done. Let me go on. They were willing to see the task through. They didn't give up. Failure was not an option. Falling short was not the right answer. Let me bring you to the last point. They were willing to take risks. They were willing to ask hard questions. They were willing to use the resources available to them. They were willing to see the task through. Now I'm going to need some help up here tonight. So Caleb, would you help me this evening? And would you do me a favor? I need 4 helpers. Now I'm talking about big, strong helpers, all right? So if you'll go out, you'll find me the strongest helpers that you can find. Yeah, besides you. Besides you, find me maybe some more helpers. And you can do that real quickly, okay? So go do it. Because all right, now it's going to be your fault, all right? It's your fault. I need 4 strong men, all right? Strong men, all right? 4 total, counting, without counting you. So there's 5 total. I know this is difficult, but 5, okay? All right. Now, we're going to come down here for just a moment. I have a table, and our project or our job right now is to get this table on top of that platform, okay? And since Caleb picked out our 4 strong men, I guess these will do. He is going to lay on the table for us. So if you don't mind, Caleb, softly, gingerly lay on that table. He's going to lay on this table. I hope we put it upright. And you are the man that is lame, okay? Lame. And we're going to pretend that you're lame. And but you can't, what we're trying to do is to get Caleb, or this man, into the presence of the Lord. Now, I hope you chose wisely. You're rethinking your choices, aren't you? You didn't think this through. I didn't give him time to really think this through. But but what we're going to do is, together, we're going to get him up there. So what I'm going to say is, let's everybody get on this corner right here. Okay? So everybody come around here, and we'll get on this corner, and we'll pick Caleb up and put him on the platform. Okay? Now, you're looking at me like, what? We couldn't do that?
No.
Okay. So what's the problem? Too much weight. Okay. So, all right, let's split you up, and two of you here and two of you there. How's that? No, that's not going to work either. Okay, well then tell me how you want to do it.
Two on one side, two on the other.
Two on one side. Hey, that's a great thing. So let's do that. Let's go ahead and pick Caleb up. Let's try not to flip him on the floor if we can help it. And what we're going to do, is it easier to go that way or this way? What do you think? We're asking hard questions here, okay? That way? Okay, so let's go this way, and we're just going to gingerly, now brace yourself. You may hit the ground. I'm not, would you sign this waiver first? Would you sign this waiver? We'll just say he signed it, okay? We all agree that he signed it. Oh, yeah, there he goes. All right. That wasn't bad. Let's give them a big hand. Now, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Because actually, we need to get him down here. I was just to start the illustration. That really wasn't the illustration. Okay. So let's... Okay, that's the easy way. That would be the... And, let me get my camera out so I can video. So let's, if we can, okay, let's come back down. Are we okay with that? No injuries? Can we do that? Okay.
Without hurting.
All right.
We'd have to pick me.
You're doing a great job. Doing a great job. Doing good. All right, now you can flip him. I mean, just lay him right there. Okay. Now, what made the difference? How did they do that? Anybody have any ideas? How did they get Caleb up there and down? What is it?
They shared the weight.
They shared the weight. You know what? They had to make adjustments. As they were carrying him up, it wasn't a flat place. There was steps, and so one had to pick up like this, and the other one had to make adjustments on each corner, right? They had to maybe take a heavier load in some areas than the others, so they had to make adjustments. They had to work together. They had to plan together. They didn't talk a lot, but they knew the task. They worked together, and they got up. And simply what they did was, they manned their corner. They just manned their corner. They all picked a corner, and they all held the weight. You know how we're going to get more people into the presence of the Lord? You're going to man your corner. You're going to man your corner. You're going to take your responsibility, take your place. You know what? You may have a friend at work that you're praying for. Why don't you get three others to pray with you? Because you know what? You have to realize you can't do it all on your own. We're out here trying to reach people on the other side of the world and trying to get Bibles in their hands. And can I say this? I can't do it alone. But I have to get a corner. I have to take my spot. I have to do what God's called me to do. And I ask and I beg and I plead and I trust that each of you will man your corner. And maybe your corner is you're giving towards faith promise. Maybe your corner is that you're praying for us. Maybe your corner is a part of the encouragement. Maybe your corner is that you would like to go with us. Whatever that corner is, man your corner. It works the same in the church. Works the same here. Pastor preaches and puts the word of God out there, but you got to get the people here. Or maybe the tapes or the videos or the CDs. We don't use tapes anymore. Sorry, most of your stuff's on tape. No. Did I say anything about Ohio State yet? I didn't. Scott's a Buckeye. They man their corner. And so the way that we're going to get more people in the presence of the Lord, the more that we're going to get into His presence so He can do what He wants to do in their lives. You see, we have an illustration of four people that could do what they could do. They could do something. They could man their corner. They could take the risk. They could rest on the resources that they had. They could do some things. These are those that could do something. He represents those that cannot. And there's many people we know and many people in our community and many people in the world. They cannot get to Christ. They need a helper. So they represents those that could. He represents those that could not. And Christ represents the one that can do what no one else can do. Praise and glory belongs to Him. So my question is, are you manning your corner? Are you in your place? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you functioning in a way that adjusts to other people in the church so that those that can't come, those that can't get into His presence, are put in His presence? And the Bible says, when He saw their faith. You know, I've always thought this way until I read this passage. You know, there are many people in the Bible Jesus saw His faith or her faith. And yes, they have to be the ones that place their faith and trust in Him. Grandma can't do that for grandson. Friend can't do that for neighbor. You'll have to put your own faith in Christ to be your Savior. But you can, Christ could see your faith and it can make a difference in somebody else's life. So my question tonight, thank you, you can have a seat. Caleb, get up and stop sleeping. And thank you for this illustration. My question tonight is this, as I close, do you know your corner? Are you manning your corner? Are you in your place? And I know that many of you are. You say, Brother Money, I'm man in my corner. I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm being a part of the church so that we can get people into the presence of the Lord. Maybe you're the pianist, or maybe you pass out the bulletins, or maybe you're greeting. But you know what? We could work together. We could move together. We could labor together so that we can get more people into the presence of the Lord. And if we each man our corner, I guarantee you, 2020 might be the greatest year. And getting people into the presence of the Lord. Isn't that what we want to see? We want to see God be glorified as we get people into the presence of the Lord. But my question tonight is, are you manning your corner? When the plate comes around, are you tithing? When faith promise comes around, are you surrendering? When it's time to work, when a need is seen, an assignment is given, are you there? Are you going to man your corner? People are lost and without Christ, and we live all around them. And my goal, or my thought this year, that God has helped me work on, Lord, help me to man my corner. Help me to be in my spot. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do. Help me to adjust to other people. Help me to lift when I have to put more strength in and relax so that more people come into the presence, Lord. They were willing. They took risks. They ask hard questions. They use the resources available. They didn't quit. And they all man their corner. How about you tonight? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. Oh Lord, there may be someone here tonight bearing a burden. And they can't bear it alone. And other folks need to come around and help bear that burden with them. There might be someone here tonight that's got a lost loved one and they've been trying to carry it alone. And they need help. Lord, I know there's missionaries on the field that are carrying burdens, that are trying to do what they can. And they need help. They need somebody to get a corner. Father, tonight, help me to do what I can. Help me to be in my place. Give me the strength to do that. Because I know that people need you. Lord, it might be a corner of a gospel tract. It might be a corner of a John and Romans. It might be a corner of a Sunday school lesson or whatever it is, Lord. Help us to do what we can for you. We love you tonight. We give you glory in Christ's name. Amen.